And there's one more quote by Mark Dever that I thought was really good. He says, "A lot of pastoring gets done when an ordinary congregation is characterized by a culture of discipling. Churches don't need programs as much as they need a culture of discipling. And it's ultimately not going to be through programs, but through people."
Welcome to the Beyond the Message podcast, a podcast designed to dive deeper into Sunday sermons. Join us as we discuss and unpack yesterday's message and go beyond with additional insight into and application of God's Word. Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson, and I'm joined here this morning by Ian Crosby and Danny Doherty. You are listening to Beyond the Message. Morning, guys.
Morning.
How are we doing?
Good.
Great. Pretty good. Danny, you talked a little bit at the beginning of your message, like surviving kickoff week, but I really did like... that was a great way to phrase it. It's like the fun thing about kickoff is that there's four quarters that come after which is sweet. I think just even maybe a little give the rest of our church a little bit of a glimpse into kind of like they hear about Salt Company kickoff and they know that there's like fun, crazy things that you guys are doing that week leading up. Maybe just like kind of the heart behind what kickoff season looks like, how we can be praying as a church for just our students that are getting involved in Salt Company this year, and hopefully our church as well, that we can be a welcoming place for them this semester, this school year, and help to come alongside them, whether it's through like structured things like discipleship group or just like being a church and connecting with college students that are here in our city.
So. Yeah. Just really, really briefly, we do something called Welcome Week leading up to our kickoff at Kirkwood Courts. And that really the goal of that is, hey, our students who are bought in and student leaders go make relationships. Some people say make friends fast, you know, is like another way you could say it of like, there are people coming to the campuses and students coming that are going to choose what community they're going to be a part of in the first week. And we hope and pray, not in a manipulative way, but they know, hey, you're welcomed into something that's a lot deeper, richer, more meaningful, and ultimately better for your soul than the things people often try to look to for connection. Mm-hmm. So we're just out there doing crazy stuff, petting zoos, jousting, just grow outs and games. What else do we do? Sasquatch hunts, you know.
I was gonna say, you can't forget that.
You can't forget the Sasquatch hunt.
And so like things that facilitate relationship and genuine conversations and connection. And then at the kickoff and then the first Thursday in our building, students that are coming or coming back or here for the first time have a chance to actually sign up for connection groups with those leaders, to actually be in community with them and relationship. And it really is. It's like that's probably the busiest season of our year, but the most important season is all the things that hopefully happen after that. Cause it's like, who cares how many people, you know, you connect with or get to your kickoff if then you don't have the step for them to be discipled here. Kind of like what we're talking about.
That's literally the secret.
Good segue.
Wow. But so it's like, hey, actually, we don't just want you to have a great first week here and hear the gospel once. We praise God for every person who heard the gospel, even if they never come back. But hopefully you're being invited into now actually who is Jesus, not over 1 week, but multiple weeks as we're looking at different passages.
You guys have a foundation series?
Yeah, we're doing foundations and then the I Am statements of Jesus and John for the rest of the semester pretty much. So, and getting community where you can actually confess sin or just be genuine about where you're at with your walk with God if you're not a believer. You know, all these things. Our student leaders actually start doing discipleship groups where they're meeting with local church members and being poured into. We have our other late nights and we're, you know, helping get ready to prime the pump for people to care about the nations and summer teams. So all those things happen in the four quarters, not the kickoff, you know? And so that's the busiest season, but it's to get to the most important things, not because that itself is the most important thing. But most accidents happen in takeoff or landing. So you hope that the takeoff, you know, at least to the best of your ability starts well. So
That's sweet. Lots of opportunities to pray, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Is there any way, just as a church, if somebody's curious, I know for a while you guys are using, was that
epistle? Yep.
You guys still using that? Any sort of way that people can connect with that?
What's great question. There? I would say the best way to connect with it, because I don't know like the link or the things like that off the top of my head, but if you go to our website and email our coordinator, Jamie Bradley, she'll get you connected to epistle, which is basically the best way to describe it, even though it's like a bad way to describe it, is like Salt Company Instagram, but like it's more ministry updates, photos of what happened.
It's almost like a newsletter.
A newsletter and social media, where it's not like social media where you're having to put content on or you're, but it's like, oh, we're updating you digitally through these ways throughout the year. So
cool. Sweet. I just thought of this. So there was an interaction with an individual Thursday night that you handled very well.
yeah, I don't know. I just was kind
But
of
you
there.
Don't know this.
I saw the text after.
Okay, did
Sorry.
You? All yeah. right. So I didn't know if I saw it. So there was a guy that came by and was like riding his bike and was heckling students as they were coming in, and pretty quickly safety team and Danny like intervened and got him to move along. But then it I think on Saturday, mm-hmm. Baron and Avery were randomly, I think at Thomas Park, and talking with a guy, and then it came out that they go to Veritas, and this guy just like was like white as a sheet, and he was like, "I'm so sorry. I was drunk last night and I was like heckling college students. I'm like, please tell everyone there. I'm so sorry." And just like, he's like, "God's been working in my life. Like, I'm just like working through a lot of stuff." And I mean, he planned to go to Faith Bible Church yesterday, and like Baron was texting with him, and just like a really cool, like, I think some of that of like, you don't always know what the whole story is. And like, you have an interaction. It's really quick to write somebody off. But like a guy that Thursday night we're looking at as like, like, okay, this guy's a threat to like, oh man, like God's working in this dude's life.
Yeah, so that was really encouraging.
That was really, that was wild. That'd be That's just sweet. Super cool story from the weekend. But Danny, all right, let's jump into it. So you got to wrap up this 4-week series. Again, just like answering the call, looking at a couple of specific statements of like, not just what is a Christian, but like what is actually core to the Christian walk. Like, what does Jesus call us to actually do? Now, it's not earning our faith, but it is like, okay, there is truly like root and fruit result when it comes to following Jesus. And so yesterday we walked through that. I'm trying to remember, what was the first one in this?
Follow me.
Follow me, take my yoke.
Seek first.
Seek first, and then now make disciples. Yeah. So you got to wrap that up, that 4-week series. Before you jump into including anything else, if you guys were to throw another, like a fifth week in there, what
answering
would it be?
The call. That's a great question. I'm thinking because I wanna.
This would have been a helpful, prepare for this.
What do you think, Sam? You've had
I think take up your cross.
Like self-denial. Yeah. That's good. Calvin's like the sum of the Christian life is self-denial, but not in a morose way and a freeing way.
Right.
Yeah. So that would be good to break down for sure. Yeah, man, I'm trying to think. Let's see. Good question. My mind's drawing a blank though.
I mean, the other call of like when Jesus is telling his disciples, like the world will know you by your love for one another. I think even just love that, like love one another. Well, I mean, any of the one another's, I'm sure you could kind of walk through that.
Yeah.
It's fine. That wasn't a setup at all. It literally just came.
So yeah, you just made us look like idiots.
That's not hard to do.
If you have anything for the next 20 minutes, you can come back and
I'm just going to randomly.
Halfway through.
I got one. That's fine. Actually, Ian's Googling for the rest of the time. Danny, go ahead. So first question on the podcast, if you had something else you want to include in your message or expand on anything, what would that be?
Yeah, there's a couple different things. I think one other, just when I was chatting about how much discipleship happens through people just doing deliberate spiritual good to the people that are around them, there's one more quote by Mark Dever that I thought was really good. And he says, "A lot of pastoring gets done when an ordinary congregation is characterized by a culture of discipling. Churches don't need programs as much as they need a culture of discipling." And so just this like cool vision of like, we can put things on, and some things are good to put on. And we do that, like first Sundays for our members, discipleship nights, but that's not going to disciple all our people and their individual lives and everything that's going on. We can help disciple one unique part, you know, in this case in September, how should you think about politics as a Christian? That's great. But people's everyday lives need much more. And it's ultimately not going to be through programs, but through people that people are being discipled. And so I just love that vision of like, a lot of pastoring gets done if our 900 members are just like, how can we help one another look more like Christ in the everyday relationships of our lives? And so I thought that was pretty sweet. I don't know if you guys have any jumping off points there before I move on to other things, but
what do you think keeps people from living that way?
It's a great question. I think like idealistic expectations that they feel like they don't meet, where it's like, well, if I don't know my whole Bible, how can I, you know what I mean? Or a certain, I talked a little bit about this, a very certain type of discipleship that they think is all of discipleship, where they're like, unless I know how to sit down across from someone else and teach them about a doctrine, I can't disciple. And people need that type of discipleship. Again, that's why different people might be gifted in that area. And we should all be learning and maturing is the hope. But it's like, you could disciple someone by being like, here's how I have slowly learned through trial and error how to discipline my kids, you know, or how to actually cut other things out of my life to actually be at church on Sunday morning. Because I notice, hey, XYZ member or person, you only come once a month, and it's not to shame them, but to say, hey, can I help you? You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, I think sometimes it's such a narrow view of discipleship that if you don't fit into that, you can't do it. I don't know. What do you guys think? What else?
Yeah. Do you think there's an assumption that in order to be a disciple maker, you have to have a standard of knowledge?
Yeah.
Where really, I mean, yes, there is, but I think a lot of times there's like the reality of like, you need to know this much. Like,
yes, right.
Some core basic, like, you shouldn't just be like, oh, I haven't even read my Bible, but I just accepted Jesus. So I'm going to go just like,
yeah.
Okay, let's, but hold on. Let's like, mm-hmm. yeah, go tell people about that, but also let's keep, right. like, let's keep yeah. learning. But I think there's a gap though between what's actually necessary knowledge and then this like kind of what you were talking about, unrealistic, like, was that you, Ian, about like, you have to know it all, where really it's more of a, like a willingness to learn and a capacity to care.
Yeah.
Where if that's there's good. Like, okay, I know that you are somebody made in the image of Christ and you have value, and like, you have a disconnect between who, what you think is real in life and what God says is real. And like, I have a responsibility to help you bridge that gap and point you to Christ.
And I think kind of to the definition that you used, intentional spiritual good towards
deliberate. But either way,
I think like help them look more that's a helpful framework in the sense of it's not, all right, it's not teaching them all these doctrines. It's not teaching them all this theology. It's like, how am I deliberately doing things for the spiritual good of others? And that can look like a lot of different things. And so I do think it's, people think there's such a high bar to discipling others when it's like, or am I just going about my life in a way that I'm intentionally and deliberately looking to help other people grow spiritually?
Because that's one of the ways you teach people all that Jesus commanded. You might be like, hey, I don't know how to break down Jesus's Olivet discourse to teach someone eschatology, but Jesus said, love your enemy, and I have an opportunity in XYZ to bring someone into how God's doing that in my life when someone, whatever, mocked me, hurt me and my family, and I'm forgiving them. You know what I mean? That's still teaching them all that Jesus commanded. Yeah. It's not all, but it's part of the all. And no one person can teach someone else the all. You know, it's through the whole organism of the body. But I do think like the traits to be a disciple maker, and again, maybe if I had more time to break this down, of like, the bar is just what the same thing I think we tell our college student leaders, is faithful, available, teachable, or FAT, if it helps you remember it more. You know, be faithful to personally just desiring to walk with Jesus, available to being like, yeah, I can, I need to make myself available for an opportunity in some way and not just make my life completely all on me. And then teachable, because sometimes you're going to mess it up and then someone else can come around you and help you learn. But like, it's not this bar of have a degree in this, 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 but be faithful, available, and teachable.
Yeah.
Try to follow Jesus. Be available to not just drive by discipleship opportunities, and be teachable as a learner on how you can keep growing. That's all you need.
Yeah, that's sweet. Great. All right. Moving on to second question here. So, Danny, you argued that the Great Commission calls us to make disciples, which I would say is pretty clear, right? But not simply converts. So calling that out, and or even just attenders, right?
Yes.
There's a difference there between disciples, converts, attenders. So, if maybe go into a little bit more of what distinguishes a devoted disciple of Jesus, and then how that should shape what we celebrate and prioritize as a church.
Man, that's a great question. Yeah. And I, again, if I had more time, I would say like every true convert will grow as a disciple. But I do think sometimes there's this idea of just like, get them in the building, get them to raise a hand, you know, in our church, not necessarily our church culture, but the broader church culture, get people to make a decision for Christ, so to speak, and then you're good. And I don't want to discount evangelism in that first moment. But, I wonder if I can pull this up in time. Spurgeon has a really good quote on this. And so this is great podcasting because I'm trying to get there in time. Here we go. It was a video by Jared Wilson on why discipleship matters that I watched that helped stir some of these things. And he quotes Spurgeon saying, some of the most glaring sinners known to me were once members of a church and led to make a profession by undue pressure. Do not therefore consider that soul winning can be secured just by the swelling of the size of your church. I'm weary of this public bragging, counting of unhatched chickens, this exhibition of doubtful spoils. Lay aside such numberings of people, such idle pretense of certifying in half a minute what will need the testing of a lifetime. I was like, holy cow, you know? Yep. And that's in his book, The Soul Winner. So he cares about evangelism, but it's not just get someone to raise their hand. It's, hey, are you good soil that's going to hear and respond? And so I think what we should celebrate isn't the amount necessary in and of itself, the amount of people coming in, but the people looking more and more like Christ and the good soil that starts to be shown by fruit in people's lives that is evidence of true conversion. And so to point more to, if we're using the, you know, illustration or the parable of the seed in the soil, let's start celebrating how can we help this seed grow in your life through what it looks like to follow Christ in your life, what it means to all the calls we just talked about to delight in growing in communion with God in your literacy of scripture, in your bearing forth the fruits of the Spirit in your character, looking more and more like the Beatitudes. Like you could go to several different places in the New Testament. 2 Peter 1 is great. Supplement your faith with knowledge, virtue, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. I think I missed one. But, you know, like for if these qualities are yours, they keep you from becoming ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we want fruit and to be fruitful and effective in the work that Jesus has called us to, we supplement our faith with the virtues of Christianity. And so that was a lot I was saying, but.
That's good. I'm trying to recall it. I was looking, I can't see, but there's a way that in Dever's book, Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, I really like the way that he talks about the connection between like evangelism and discipleship. And there's like, if you stop short of discipleship and evangelism, like you're basically calling people to submit to Christ as Savior without as calling them to Lord. And if there's no evangelism and you're just like solely focused on discipleship, you're just calling people to follow Christ as Lord and not really like truly understand him. I mean, that would come out, but he says it much more eloquently than that. Yeah, but
that's helpful. And
I do think that there's a compelling evangelistic nature to true discipleship too, to where as you live as a disciple and you live making disciples. Like, I feel like that becomes.
Well, you see that in Acts 42.
Yeah.
Like, Acts 2:42.
Sorry.
Acts 2:42. Like, are there Acts 42?
That's what I was thinking about yesterday.
That's also something because I would have loved to do.
Because you talked about his power, and I was thinking, oh, that's also how you see evangelism. Yeah. God growing.
Because the point wasn't we're doing this so that it's attractive.
Yes, right.
But no, this is actually attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is what people were attracted to, is they were attracted to the devotion and that outpouring of love for one another.
Yeah.
And then that's what got people excited. And they're like, what's this all? Like, this is different.
Yeah.
Yep. Jared Wilson said again in this video, again, didn't make it in the message, but maybe our failure to disciple our converts we make is why we're making fewer converts. You know, so exactly that point.
Interesting.
So I think, I mean, we'll get into it here. So this kind of flows into the next question. So I'll ask that and we can kind of circle back to even to what we celebrate and prioritize as a church in being a devoted disciple and how that plays out. So you described discipleship as a team sport. I thought that was a great call out. So everyone has a small but important role to play. So how can Christians identify their role in making disciples, and what can intentional discipleship look like in ordinary relationships that God has already given us?
It's a good question. I think to use another sport analogy, I think like sometimes it's literally just trial and error of like, oh, I tried baseball and I'm not good at baseball. And then for me, you just get to the point where you're like, maybe I'll try the music stuff.
the marching band's part of the marching team, right?
A sport. Danny, that is not a sport. No, sorry.
Show choir is a sport, right? No, I'm kidding. but I think there is this just like, be okay with trying to learn through process what your gifts are. There's only one way you can start to test those out. And I do think also there's this potential of obsessing so much about like, what's my gift, that you're so paralyzed you don't do anything. It's like, just try to, you know, do deliberate spiritual good and start to evaluate over months. Oh, I get filled with joy when I bring people into my home, even when it's messy, and like, or, oh, actually that person said, hey, you explained that in a way that was really helpful. You know, you like, and so you start to clarify. I think asking in community, like often we're blind. So asking people around you, have you seen anything in me that you think I could like be helpful to this church in this way and let people speak into it. Yeah. Ask your pastors, ask your connection group leader, ask the people you serve with at Kids or the cafe or wherever else. Yeah. Some of that implies you're committed to the team, which is like the first, you know, step first and foremost. And so those are just a few stray thoughts I have where it's like, feel the freedom through trial and error to just pursue. You're only going to find it out when you try to do it, you know, and then see kind of what happens.
So would you take the position and say like, there are just traits, like some people have it and other people don't? Cause that gets into my follow-up question, but I'll set you up a little
bit. I mean, everyone's called to evangelize, sure. but not everyone has the gift of evangelism in the same way. Yeah. Everyone is called to love one another, show hospitality. Yeah. So everyone has a baseline command, but I think it's okay to be like, where are my strengths and how do I maximize that? Yeah. You know, if that makes sense. I don't know. What do you think, Ian? He'll take your
wheels. Yeah, no, turning. I think you're right on there. I think there's the tendency to, I also think, to elevate certain roles and to think, oh, I'm just going to do this. It's like, you might not be good at that, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to be a teacher. You might not have the gift of teaching, but you can show hospitality. Mm-hmm. And I think we see that just even in our marriage. Like, Morgan is great at opening up our home and being hospitable and loves doing that. I don't think about that at all. And so like that's not an excuse, but that's one of the ways we compliment each other is she just thinks that way and she loves doing that. And that's a great way for discipleship to be happening in our home and in our church. And so I think sometimes we do elevate different roles and we can think, oh, I'm not doing a good enough job if I'm not doing X, Y, or Z. And it's like, or you could just be a part of the local church because there's going to be people who are good at teaching. There's going to be people who are good at showing hospitality. And there's going to be people who are good at serving in different areas. And so you don't have to feel the pressure to do all those things or even be extraordinary at things that you're not normally extraordinary
and
at.
And I think that's the key. That kind of calls me back to in previous career in the corporate world. It seemed like there were elements of like statuses and reviews where it was kind of like, all right, what are the strengths? But that was very quickly passed over, be like, all right, and here's the weaknesses. And the point of identifying the weaknesses wasn't like, hey, improve, but it was like, work on these so much that they become your strengths.
Sure.
And you'll be unbreakable. Like that's not
the call,
like,
be unbreakable.
Yeah. That's the one. But just that, like, the they're In the same way of saying, like, identifying, like, that's not something that, like, I'm naturally good at, doesn't write you off from saying, like, God can't grow you in that.
Yeah.
But also being like, but the point of identifying that isn't to be like, I'm going to work really hard at making that my number one strength.
Yeah. Well, and I think some of
that. And so just that balance.
Some of that's a pride and humility thing, too, to where in our pride, we have elevated certain things and we just like, I want this because then people will listen to me, or then I'm going to have a certain amount of sway or whatever. It's like,
or it's more visible.
Yeah. Or like, just be humble and like, what has God gifted me in and what has he given me opportunity to do? And how can I use both those giftings and opportunities to serve his church and be useful for the deliberate good of others? So
it's interesting you call that up, the giftings and opportunities, because that kind of was one of my follow-up questions that I was thinking through is like, do we spend too much time focusing on like our individual spiritual gifts instead of depending on the Spirit to work his gifts in us that are needed to serve other people? Like, if there's an opportunity and you know you're like, this is going to be a stretch, like, wouldn't that be such a great, instead of being like, that's not my gifting, instead of being like, this is a need and an opportunity, God, like, I'm dependent on you to show up, like help me serve in this way.
Yeah, I think it's both too. Like, I just think of serving in kids. There's some people who are very gifted teachers and it's like, you should be serving in kids and using your gift as a teacher and to engage kids to that. Well, and we've got great people who do that. Then there's also people where it's like, well, I'm just not gifted with serving in kids. And it's like, but you can serve your church in this way. And this and is just the way we need you to. Yeah. And I'm not saying that needs to be a forever thing. And
actually might be what's best for you.
Yeah. And I think that just takes a level of humility to say, this might not be my preference right now, but this is what the church needs. And so I'm going to step into it. But
yeah. No, I totally agree. I think that's where I'm kind of getting at. Like, okay, you might not have what you call, however you define it, the gift of hospitality, but if scripture says be hospitable and then there's a need that's not being met, be hospitable. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, even if you're like, I'm not a natural, you know, whatever. The phrase that came to my mind is entertainer. And I think that's the problem is I can't remember who first said this, but it's like hospitality and entertaining are two very different things. And some of the reason hospitality doesn't happen is because there's this like, well, if I don't have whatever it is, a way out of my home that's beautiful and something to make everyone like laugh or like.
Is that Rosaria Butterfield?
It might be. I haven't read her book, but if that's her category,
I think
great.
That's from. Yeah. That seems like the
gospel comes with a house. Yep, gospel comes with a house. I haven't read it yet, but yeah, that like that distinction. It's like, but you can welcome people in your home. So that's just the first example that came to mind because that's what we were working with. Where it's like, to Ian's point, if that is a call in the church body and there is a need that is not being met, God's calling you to be obedient to scripture. He's always calling you to be obedient to scripture. Yeah. Now that doesn't mean, again, it doesn't mean, yeah, it's all the time or, you know, for the next 5 years, but to say, hey, in the meantime, and until someone else can exercise this gift this way in a way that energizes them, I'll figure out how to help make this happen.
And also knowing that the Spirit will like give you what you need in those moments to do that. Like you don't do it in your own flesh. You do it by the power of the Spirit working his gifts in you as well.
That's some of the, that was some of the heart behind the question too. Where like it's, we don't get a pass. It's like, all right, I figure out all of my spiritual gifts. This is, it's like,
it's almost like an Enneagram baptized Enneagram. Sorry. I can't talk to you. I'm a wing four, you know, or whatever. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. And it really does go back to that heart where it's like, is there an opportunity to do deliberate good to somebody else? Do deliberate spiritual good to somebody else? Yeah. And like being able to put your yes on the table, like it may not be as clear. And you might not be as comfortable doing something that's more in your wheelhouse, but like,
and you might find out you're not good at it.
But it's also like God doesn't require perfection. Yeah. Like he's calling us to obedience, and like he gets glory in that. So, I think there is room in all of us to continue to grow. It's like, where am I just focusing more on like what I want to do instead of like what my church needs me to do or what like. What this other brother or sister needs me to do, like how can I do good unto them and glorify God? Yeah.
And I would say if you're listening to this, a member of our church, and you're not serving somewhere, just reach out to the different ministry leaders and be like, how can I serve? Like, how can I use my time to help disciple others through your ministry in the church? And all of us would be more than happy to give ways for you to be a part of the disciple making ministry of our church. So
Sweet. All right, Danny, I don't have any listener questions. I don't know if you had any conversation with anybody afterwards, but...
I'll just share this one story that's really cool because I think I told you, I can't remember who was there, but a junior from Cornell came up to me and talked to me after. She said, I have to like tell you something. This is pretty crazy. I was looking through my grandma's Bible, who she's still alive. She's 105, her grandma, which is still awesome. But it's awesome. And she's like, and in the Bible is the name Nick Doherty, which is my dad, because her grandma is the one who led my dad to Christ in Rockford, Illinois. And now she's a member. I don't know. She attends faithfully here on Sundays. She's part of the basketball team for Cornell. So sweet. But isn't that crazy? That's so and so we like took a picture and I was like, how crazy that like the and she still prays for my dad, which is crazy. Once in a while he'll get like a call in the voicemail, I'm like, Nick Doherty, I'm praying for you today, you know? And so is that sweet? And so like I just had this moment of like washing over of like someone doing deliberate spiritual good to someone else, this like middle-aged woman who's like, I don't know what I can do. She wanted to be a missionary to China, but wasn't able to. And she's like, I can lead a backyard Bible study for people. And that's where my dad grew up Catholic, but that's where he like encountered at that backyard Bible study, going through the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus in a saving way.
Wow.
And now he was like faithful to raise up kids. Now I'm at a church preaching and her granddaughter's there. It's just like the layers of that are insane. So who knows what, and like that, it's so crazy because I was having this moment where like, I'm like up here on a stage, like preaching, but like the ultimately Jesus is the hero of the whole story. But basically saying the person that really should be celebrated is this like faithful elderly lady, you know, who was just faithful to pour into people that will never be celebrated by us, but will be by Jesus. And she'll be a lot closer to the throne than I will be, you know? And so I don't know. That's not really part of the, but that happened after the second service.
And I think that's even a sweet vision for our people to have like you said she wanted to be a missionary.
Yes.
And so it's
yes,
like that wasn't yeah. even like what she wanted to be doing
yes,
initially, right. but God
be
used
be faithful where
that.
You are. Yeah. Right.
That's like, so sweet.
Yeah.
That's an awesome encounter to have.
Crazy?
That's so good.
Yeah, that was one of the more surreal moments of my life. That's, you know, so
like, it makes, makes me, there's a, I was listening to just like a clip of somebody talking on podcasts and sharing a story. He's like called out in, I forget which one of the epistles, but, you know, kind of at the end where there's like, greet all these people. It's just like a bunch of random names. I've never seen this before, but it's like one of the names is literally just a number in Greek. And it's because at that point there were like slaves that yeah. weren't even named. They just were given a number. And it's like, Paul cared so much. He's mm-hmm. like, yeah, you weren't worthy of a name to them, but like yeah. your name is written and like will be read by Christians for thousands of years.
That
like
is just crazy. That. Like, well, how is that translated in the English?
I think it's Quintus.
Quintus, like five.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's real.
Or maybe quartus. It's either Quintus or quartus.
Either way, yeah, four or five. Like,
four
yeah.
or five.
Wow.
But like
11.
Wow. All right.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool. So many like little sweet, like yeah. crazy, crazy ways that it's like, that's God. That's yes. not like, yeah. it's not people like manipulating and working their thing, but like for a woman to pray for your dad,
yes,
who then disciples his family, and then you're called into ministry. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think even too, just that reminder of like the gospel came to all of us because it's on its way to someone yeah. else. And that's like, God forbid if we let it stop with us, if yeah. we don't continue to pass that on. So
man,
it's great. All right. So no listener questions this week. Thanks for sharing that story.
Yeah.
Again, we want to continue to be a sounding board for our church where there's like, hey, you said this. Well, how does this make sense? And there's sometimes we totally miss that. So if you have questions, don't feel like this is a dumb question. We want to hear those. So help us help you apply God's word. You can click the link in the podcast description, ask a question to be answered on a future episode. And Danny, your main idea yesterday, big idea you had, be a devoted follower of Jesus who seeks to help others become devoted followers of Jesus. That'd be true of our church. Can we have just a discipleship like overflow and not just one generation to the next, but generation upwards, backwards, yes. like, and would God get all the glory in that? So guys, thanks for being here. Church, join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.